And a welcome to all our guests and all those who are back and joining us again who have been away. We thank you for being here. It's a pleasure to have you back. This morning, as we basically finish up our Advent season, we're going to look at a text that really shows us how God planned that we should be prepared for the final days. We're going to look at a text that really kind of begins the Christmas story just before the birth of Jesus. We will see Mary, a young girl with faith enough to do what God has called her to do. And we're going to really look at her and understand that we should remember her. Sometimes we don't want to because people have messed that up in the past. But we should surely look at her as an example of a saint, of someone who God has given the strength to believe him and to follow through as an example for us. We will also see who Jesus Christ is, who God announces that he is going to be. And we will see that even before his birth, people will know who he is going to be. And we will see the sure hope that we have in him, the hope that comes from knowing that he is indeed our Messiah and our Savior. And because of this promise is for all people of the world, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes from the Gospel of Luke, and I had to add some verses because, anyway, I couldn't leave it where the text, I had cut it off in the bulletin, and so you'll see it's a bit longer. And so our text does come from Luke chapter 1, and we're going to start with verse 28 going through verse 45. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. And blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind at what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and be called the Son of God, and be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I have not known a man?" And the angel answered her and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For God, with God, nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And hence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. I did read quite a bit, but I felt it was necessary and really to set up the context of what the end of this text is. And there was so much in it that I didn't really want to leave it out, because it's not something that we usually talk about, even in Christmas, except very cursory to go over it. But the greeting that Mary receives, "Greetings, favored one of the Lord is with you." Now this is very interesting, because here we have a young girl, and the angel of the Lord comes to her and says, "Greetings, favored one." God himself picked the mother of his son. A young girl from the line of David. And yet, I think he picked her, you can feel free to disagree with me, not only because she fulfilled prophecy, but because she had faith. Faith to believe in the promises that God was going to give her. Women in those days were not looked upon with favor. And in fact, they were basically, in a lot of cases, kind of like property. Jesus Christ, of course, will change all that. But the other thing that we get is how the angel greeted her, or how she took the greeting at first. But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and she tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And in other places it said she was afraid. And really it's not the afraid like I'm terrified, it's more the afraid of awe, of respect. And then we get the first announcement about the birth of Jesus. "Do not be afraid, Mary." The whole first and second chapter of the Gospel of Luke announced those words to us as mankind. First to Mary, to Joseph, to the shepherds. "Do not be afraid." We try to make this whole thing of Jesus Christ at times into something that's fearful. Something that we're supposed to shake. That's not the fear we're talking, or that's not what we're supposed to do. That's not how God announces his Savior. There should be nothing fearful about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came as a little child, not as a conquering king. Not as someone who comes in and starts killing people, but as a babe who's absolutely helpless. This is how God sends our Messiah. We are not to be afraid. Jesus Christ did not come here to be afraid. That's not how he's to be proclaimed. That's not how he's to be taught. Can we have awe and respect? Yes. But to be afraid? A little earlier tonight, or this morning, you saw my son run across the front of the church. That is exactly the way we are to look at who Jesus Christ is. That we can boldly run to him. Because he's not out to get us. He came to save us. And that really is what the name Jesus means. And verse 31 says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." God himself names his son. And it's with a name that had been used all the way throughout the Old Testament in the Hebrew, Joshua. And it literally means the Lord is salvation. And I think it's very interesting when you deal with that name, and as I was looking into it, it's not we are our salvation. It is what God has done for us. It is Jesus Christ that is our salvation. It's not that I can perform so many tasks. It's God sent His Son to perform the tasks for us. And this is really the name that God gives His Son. That He is the salvation. And the interesting part is it says, "And of His kingdom there will be no end." And I was thinking this in light of the Jews. And it's a sad thing. Because when you think about it, their kingdom ended at times, was revived at times. And of people who have struggled throughout their history. But He came for them. That He would be their king. And of course, most of us know and understand the story of Easter. When the Jews and the Romans, so that means God's chosen people and the Gentiles, rejected Him and killed Him. But that wasn't the end of His kingdom. That wasn't the end of the story. You see, Jesus Christ was crucified. He died and He shed His blood. But that was for our forgiveness, for our salvation, and for our righteousness. And then He was raised. And today He sits on the throne. There is no end to this kingdom. And Mary, of course, is listening to all this and trying to figure out what is going on. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I have never known a man?" And the angel answered her and said, "The Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child to be born will be called the Son of God." This innocent girl, thrust into the changing point of history by God. God knew who she was. And God was going to allow her to take care of His helpless son. To meet his needs. To take care of him. To clothe him. To diaper him. Because this is how God sent His son. We think a lot of times of the Son of God as this great conqueror. And He was, because He conquered things that we couldn't even dream of. Sin, death, Satan. But when He first came to mankind, He came as an innocent child. But nevertheless, even lying in that manger, he was the Son of God. And God goes on to explain this whole thing to Mary. Behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son, and this being the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing is impossible with God. You see, and this really comes down to one of the things that's hard for us. Because we operate by the laws of physics, by the laws of this world, and how all these things work out. At a certain point, women cannot bear children any longer. It's a biological fact. But God set all those things up. And with God, nothing is impossible. And then we get Mary's reaction. Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now the other thing that we have to kind of realize is what angel or what Mary is allowing for herself. During this time, if a young girl was known to be pregnant and was unmarried or unwed, the penalty was stoning. It's that simple. People could have called for her death, and by the law, they would have been justified. And so, Mary allows herself at this point, and not that I don't think you can really resist God when He has a call for your life, but Mary calls herself the Lord's servant, and says, "Let it be as you have told it to me." She basically allows that death sentence, that thing of reproach, to come upon her, knowing that with God, He will work it out. Her faithfulness in God is absolutely unbelievable. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country, into the town of Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Now she leaves and she goes to meet her cousin. To really see, to me, that thing that is impossible. Elizabeth was not able to bear children. Mary hears this from the angel, and it's almost like most of us as human beings, well, we better go check on this. I'm not saying that's why she went for sure. Just in my mind, that was the first thing that came out as I was reading this week, that she went to see, and she found it to be true. And the whole other thing then changes. It's no longer about seeing Elizabeth, but rather, it comes to be about Mary and the person that she carries in her womb. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. This all happens as Jesus Christ is probably very shortly along in his gestation period, and He changes people from the start. At the sound of Mary's voice, John the Baptist leaps in the womb of Elizabeth. just at the mere sound of that voice. A child is changed and will become a great prophet. No one can ever tell me that a child cannot have faith. The scripture right here plainly tells us that a baby before it was born, that baby will come as John the Baptist to announce the Messiah as an adult, will prepare the paths. And Elizabeth, at this point, is filled with the Holy Spirit, which Jesus Christ brings to all people now. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And this is really the expectation. Elizabeth knows by the power of that Holy Spirit already that the Messiah has come. Her Savior is there. And blessed is Mary, who will be called forever from that point on the mother of our Lord. She is a blessed woman. We should look at her with all reverence, because she believed God and she allowed herself to be used. Sorry, I'm about to laugh. But Mary allows herself to be put into that role and raises God's Son and does all the things throughout His life, following Him, believing Him, and knowing Him. And really, this is what we're called to do. To believe the Word of God. It doesn't come to us always as an angel, but it is proclaimed to us through His Word and through His Gospel. We hear it each and every Sunday. We can hear it each and every day. We can read it each and every day. But He calls and asks us to believe it. To believe His promises are for us. And Elizabeth goes on to explain exactly what happens to her. "For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ear, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And that really gets to the crux of the issue. Do we believe what God has promised through His Son, Jesus Christ? Do we believe that we are indeed forgiven by His name and shed blood? Do we believe that He is our salvation? Being still in Advent, we worry about being prepared for His second coming. We have no need to worry about being prepared if we believe in His first coming and what He came to do. Because it is through His first coming, His birth, His ministry, His death and glorious resurrection, that we have been given everything. And the only thing that He calls on us to do is to believe it. And so throughout this next week, as we prep for Christmas, the Christmas carols come, people get happier. It's a great time of year. know the reason why. Jesus Christ came as our salvation. As the salvation for the world. He came to bring peace between God and mankind. Know it and believe it. And remember those saints that have come in the past. Saints like Mary, who believed God and followed her son Jesus Christ to the foot of the cross. And now, I'm sure, sits in heaven with her reward for her faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Father, we come before you giving you thanks for your salvation, for your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask that you would help us by the power of your word and through your Holy Spirit to be faithful, like Mary, that we would believe in those promises that you have told us. Father, that you would work in our hearts and our minds, that we not only would believe it, but we would proclaim it. That during this Christmas season, we would understand, and by word and by deed, we would show that same love and the faithfulness that you have had to us. Father, so that other people could come to know of your love. We ask that you would work through us as individual members as we're out and about this week, that we would show your love. That, Father, we would be ambassadors and faithful to the calling that we have received from you. Father, we ask that you would bless this Christmas time, that you would call all people to yourself through your Son, Jesus Christ. That, Father, there would be a great knowing, and people would come to repentance and to know your Son. Father, we thank you for your words and for the sure promise that we have in him, in them, and in him, your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray these things. Amen.